Matt asked for 10 people to be sponsored, and there was 14. I want to thank you for the generosity. I got that video from Matt late last night. I actually thought that he was recording it in a secret spot. It sounds like he was kind of whispering it, doesn't it? Like he was under some sort of fierce oppression down at the youth camp. A common question, I'm not sure if you've ever heard this question in interviews, a common question that's asked is this: if you could bring five people to a dinner party, it doesn't matter whether they're dead or alive, though hopefully they would be alive even if they're from the past, who would they be? Here's some of the names that I've often seen, names like Winston Churchill, Elvis Presley, Joan of Arc, Alexander the Great, or Jane Austen. I don't know why Jane Austen was there. I've never read any books, but I'm sure some people would love to speak to her. But these were names when I Googled it about which were often mentioned. What about if it wasn't just for a dinner party? What about if it was, I wish I was there for events of history? I wish I was there. Where would you like to be? I put down some of these things. I would like to have been at the signing of the Magna Carta. Revolutionized how nations are ruled and human liberty is expressed. Or maybe you would have liked to have been at the surrender of Germany in 1945. Or when Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the door in a castle in Wittenberg, and how that changed history. Discovery of penicillin. You know, my wife works in the kind of the medical world, and some of the heroes of her industry are the Curies. In my lifetime, would you like to have been at the fall of the Berlin Wall? Or maybe you would have liked to have been at the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King. Where would you wish to be? You know, one of the moments in Christian history where I wish I was in is written about in Acts chapter 14. They read these words. It says that finally, they're talking about is Paul and Barnabas, returned by ship to Antioch, which is in Syria. That's where their journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. And upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together. So these two guys had been away. In fact, they had been away on what's called often the first missionary journey. They had been into what's the equivalent of kind of modern-day Greece and modern-day Turkey and parts of the Eastern Mediterranean and very much parts of the known world as it was there. They called the church together and they reported everything that God had done through them and how he'd opened the door of faith to Gentiles as well. What it means is they'd open the door of faith to everyone. I wish I was there. You see, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't just plant churches. They told the story of what God had done. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine sitting around in a room as they shared the ways in which God had worked? You see, encouragement multiplies when we speak our testimonies. Encouragement multiplies. When the body encourages each other, the body comes alive. God has always formed his people through encouragement and sharing of stories. In Psalm 66, it records it this way. The psalmist says, "Come and listen, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me." I will tell you what he did for me. That's what stories do. They encourage and multiply the church. A testimony turns what is private faith into shared courage. A testimony normalizes what our Christian life is and parts of it. Our testimonies make grace visible, make what God is doing in our lives visible to everyone around us. They remind us that God is active. Human lives embody what God is like. You know, a sermon can explain truth, but a testimony proves truth. I love the story of the woman at the well. At the end of that story, in John chapter 4, we read these words. The woman who has encountered Jesus says this, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? She begins to tell her story. And then what happens? The people came streaming from the village to see her. Her story, people responded. You know, every January in the life of this church, we've invited people to share kind of a brief devotional talk about how God has been working in their lives. Over the last few years, we've invited people to share about songs and how that's impacted their faith and their journey. We've invited people to share about their favorite verses and the way in which that's impacted them. In this past year, we talked about their favorite parables and how they're a part of their life and how God has worked through them. And every time that happens, the body is encouraged because stories multiply encouragement, don't they? When we come alongside each other and share our stories, it reminds us of God's faithfulness. It proves God's persistence and gives us encouragement to endure through difficult times. They tell the story about how God has redeemed, changed us. You see, when we speak our story, when we speak our testimony, we encourage one another. We guard against cynicism because cynicism can't stand up against lives which are changed. We remind each other that Jesus is alive and working. And you know, I know that many times we're afraid of sharing our story. It's a very human thing to be fearful of being vulnerable, to appear to be weak. It can be easy to say, well, you know, I'm not a professional speaker. I don't like getting up in front of people. Or maybe people, well, they already know my story. Why would they be interested in it? Come and listen, and I will tell you what he did for me. You know, I want to implore you to take some courageous steps in two different ways. I want to encourage you to encourage each other, because that's when the body comes alive. You know, some of us might say, well, that's not the Australian way. You know, we even have an Australian value, the tall poppy syndrome, which says that we should not encourage someone too much because they'll get too big for their boots. How many people do you know who are too big for their boots? In contrast, how many people do you know who live in fear and insecurity, afraid of taking these steps because failure will doom them for their life, who are discouraged? You know, I can find many, many, many biblical commands to encourage each other, but I haven't been able to find any which say, cut them down to size. In Hebrews, it reminds us, encourage one another. And it says, do it today so that none of you will be hardened, so that you won't have hard hearts. Encouragement's not flattery. Encouragement strengthens another person's grip on Jesus. Encouragement is not optional. In fact, encouragement, it says here, is preventative. Encouragement prevents us from having hard hearts. You know, as part of our 10 a.m. reimagining, one of the things that we have shared about is a commitment to all of our community participating. In the post-COVID world, it got to a stage where throughout that period that it was only the professional pastors who were sharing. And we want to intentionally make a commitment to the entire body sharing and encouraging and participating. You know, I want to say to you today that we are making an increased commitment in this area, and I want to encourage you to be a part of it. I want to invite you to be willing to share your story. You know, what's going to happen today is we're going to hear from a number of people, and they're sharing their stories. I was talking to Narelle about this during the week, and I said, if you imagine a traditional church service is kind of like the three-course meal where the pastor gets up and he preaches, and that's kind of this main hefty course. Today is kind of like a tapas service, kind of like the service of small plates. Lots of different people sharing about the impact that God has in their lives. And I want to invite you today to enter into those stories, but I also want to invite you to continue to pursue that in all of our church and community life. As I said, we're going to continue to do this on a regular basis, every term. Maybe next time it will be your story which will be shared. So my encouragement today is this for you. Someone in this room needs your story. Someone in this room needs to hear the change that's happened in your life and how God is making a difference. So we're going to sing, we're going to come together and worship again, and then what we're going to have the privilege of is hearing in a variety of different ways about how God is working.
Hello, Mike. Oh, there I am. Excellent. Well, I'd like to invite Rob Hooperts and Gwen Laird, if you can come up now. Why don't we give them a hand? Legends of the house, wonderful people. They're going to share a little bit about their story and particularly their Connect group. G'day. Rob. So, how you going?
Good.
Excellent. Now, question for you. First question. You both are in Connect groups. Tell us a little bit about the groups that you're in.
I'm in a group that meets every week on Thursday night, and we've been doing that for many years, so it's...
How many years?
Many.
Many.
Years. I can't remember. A long time. So it becomes part of your just weekly routine. It's just what we do. We're a diverse age range in our group, in the over 60s bracket, over 59 bracket, I think. But we, like other home groups, we have a blend of Bible study, prayer and practical support.
Yeah. When I started preparing for this question, I was going to say we're a group of over 45s. And then my wife reminded me that the youngest person in the group is 47. So I'm clearly in the, 50s and above. But our group, we meet in Lilydale. We meet fortnightly, we've been together probably post COVID, and there's about 10 of us.
Very good. Now you're both pretty passionate about your groups. What do you love about your Connect group?
Our Connect group, it's like a family. It's like a genuine family, and the thing I love about it is that we can share life's joys and struggles without judgment, without just naturally. It's a group that has care and compassion, and that's great.
I would say ours is very similar. It's around relationships and passion for drilling into God's word. Cam always reminds us that a healthy group is in, up and out. So in is the relationship we have with each other, up is our connection to God, and out is how we're witnessing to the world. I would say that we do our in and up better. We still need some work on the out. But I think for us, when I think of up, God's word is living and breathing, and I see that in our discussions every week. We all have different life experiences, and we all have different times that we go through as a group. And I think it's interesting that when we delve into the word, just what a different passage or verse can mean for 10 different people. And then what I'd say is the second part for us is the in, which is the relationship. So when we went through the series with John Mark Comer, he just stressed this need for community. And I think after COVID, I think there's never been a more important time for us to be in community. When we see what's going on in the world, there's also no more important time than to have safety in a group. And I think that safety is in this group as CHBC, and then safety as our smaller Connect groups. And what I mean by that is, we sometimes, I think, maybe underplay this, but when we look at what's happening in the world today, it's very clear that the enemy is here to come and to kill and to destroy. And he likes to isolate us and pick us off one at a time. And I think community stops that from happening. It's where we huddle in close. I have watched too many Rambo movies, so, you know, sometimes the, how can I say, the image in the Western world is the Lone Ranger. You know, we do battle on our own. And I just want to say today that that's different. We do gang warfare, and we get together, and we fight together, and we fight the good fight, and we run the good race.
Gang warfare. I like that. We do it together. And I like the saying that our Christianity is personal, but it's not private. So it's very personal, but it's not private. We do it together. Now, what are you guys focusing on at the moment in your Connect group? Yes, big question. What are you focusing on?
In our Connect group, we've carried on with some of the principles of practicing the way, some of the practices. We've dived deeper into those. And the one we're doing at the moment is the practice of fasting. Now, for our group, which loves food, and we have a tradition of starting each term with a shared meal and absolutely delighting in the varying different delicacies that come from each household at that meal. This has been a real challenge, but it's also been good to do it together. For some of us, fasting was completely a new concept, and for others, they've had some practice. But the study has been able to, we've been able to ease into it, and like with any new skill, it does take practice, and we have to work up to it and practice it and work on it. We haven't insisted that everyone in the group fasted. People could decide to participate at whatever level that they wanted to. In fact, we had one member or a couple of members of our group in hospital, and one was so sick that they weren't able to eat. They weren't eating for a while, so we weren't encouraging him to fast. We wanted him to eat. But it's been really good doing it in a group, doing it together, like Rob was saying, because we can cheer each other on, we can hold each other accountable, we can share experiences and grumbling tummies, and we know that we're not alone in the journey. I've got a lot more to talk about the fasting thing, if that's all right. The Bible teaches us a lot about fasting, but it's always accompanied by prayer. Prayer and fasting. Fasting and prayer. And I think in this group we've found that this exercise has not just been an intellectual exercise to focus our minds on God, but it's been a whole body experience. When we feel the hunger pains, we're actually... It makes the point more. It makes our encounters with God more impactful. We've been practicing at fasting for one day a week over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it's been an interesting time. Midway through, we decided to sync up our fasting times and all fast on the one day. And then we'd come together that night as a group and pray and share our experiences, reflect, and then share a meal together, break our fast together with a very simple light meal. It's interesting with the studies, practicing the way, and what we've found, it's not just a study for 4 or 5 weeks. They want you to integrate it into our everyday lives, and so that's what we're trying to do. We don't want to just forget about it, but we want to perhaps slowly introduce that and integrate that into everyday lives. And that might mean perhaps fasting one day a week, or it might mean fasting for a special occasion, like the the church fast that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
Good plug. Well done.
The prayer and fasting time. So we have a bit more understanding for that. I found it very beneficial. I've enjoyed the process. And other comments in our group have been things like, it's turned out to be more, turned out to be better than I thought. I've just lost my page, I'm sorry. It's turned out to be more positive than first thought. People have said they felt more connected with the group. And people have said that they're feeling excited about the prospect of fasting. But more importantly, looking forward to hearing God's voice. So overall, it's been an enriching and positive experience, and I'm excited to see where it takes us.
Yeah, so for us, we finished the Practicing the Way series, and before that, Romans. We're now tackling an Old Testament book, which is Job, and our group, I have to say, we plan to be at a Wednesday group from 7:30 to 9:30. That really happens because we're always going down rabbit holes. But the thing is, it's been again quite a humbling book in terms of that. You know, we all know that Job went through a lot of suffering. It is suffering that God allowed. And I think you know, we use the study material in Right Now Media, and it's quite interesting when Francis Chen says, you know, are we humble enough to accept that, you know? And sometimes when he explains certain passages with God allowing things to happen to Job, he uses the words offensive. And I have to say, those were things that really, you know, in this world today where it's all about the me culture and my opinion is the right opinion, you know, are we humble enough to acknowledge that God is almighty, he's sovereign, he's the ruler of the universe, and he has everything in his hand and under his control. So that's what continues to challenge us in that.
You know, I think one of the probably the theme here is get into a group, join community. You know, my wife's been away for the last week, and I've noticed something. I do life better with her. It's just, and then on Monday mornings, I meet with a friend of mine every Monday, who's a Christian guy, and we meet and we talk about life. I do better when I'm connecting with him. And then I've got my connect group on Tuesday night. We had an awesome group last week just discussing the armor of God. I do better when I'm in a group. My faith is personal, but it's not private. And so I want to really encourage you guys, if you're not in a connect group, join a group, because we're better together. We're supposed to do this faith thing together. So why don't we give these guys a hand? Thanks heaps. And may God bless you. Hey, we're about to finish our service. But before we do, I just want to remind you that tonight there is no service. Again, if you want to come, you can, but you'll be the only one. So come along. I want to encourage you to know that God loves you, he is with you, and that he has his hand on your life. So today we have talked about all sorts of things, but particularly that God is good and sovereign and has everything in his control. Amen. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you are alive and well. We thank you that we have stories to tell. We have a testimony. You say that when we tell our testimony, it overcomes the enemy. And so, Father, may we be a community of people that continue to tell our stories. May we look for opportunities to tell our stories with those who don't know you and those who do. Lord, I ask this, that you will give us courage to step into that place of saying, let me tell you my story of who Jesus is for me. And Father, we just thank you that you are good, that you are in control, and that you are a God of love. Bless us this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to grab a coffee and tea or go to the cafe. Great to see you all here. God bless you heaps.